Welcome to the Animal Control Report. I don't know why I say it that way. Report. With your hosts,
Ashley Bishop.
And I'm Daniel Ettinger. This is the first episode of season five. I think it's episode 207 in total. That means five. We're on our fifth year of this podcast.
And they keep coming back to listen.
Which is, we really appreciate our listeners to do that. This one is pretty cool because we're trying to do it live here on a couple different platforms. So on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And you can check those out. Just find the Animal Control Report on YouTube and Facebook. And then on LinkedIn, it should be on my just Daniel Ettinger LinkedIn page. So if you find me or if we're already connected on LinkedIn, you can then just watch it live if that's something you want to do. Otherwise, you can still listen to this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just really quick, have to thank all of our listeners for, you know, coming back for another season. We also want to thank our sponsors. That's Tomahawk. Tomahawk Live Trap exceeds customers' expectations by providing them with the largest, high-quality, humane animal control products. Check out their new Pro Gravity Series door trap. They feature a door that sets automatically when you open it. No hook or plate setting needed. Use discount code KEEPITHUMANE for 10% off your order at livetrap.com. And those, we saw those traps. Those are pretty cool. Those are pretty cool. They had them at the Texas Animal Control Association's annual conference. We got to play with those a little bit.
And they're awesome people. Like, they want to support us. They want to support what we do. Mm-hmm. So definitely, it's also nice. It's a family-owned business. So
it's in your hometown.
No, it's about 2 hours north of me, but.
Okay, stop. It's in your home state. So it's cool to be able to be sponsored by a group like Tomahawk. We definitely appreciate their support. And again, check out their website, livetrap.com, and you can use discount code KEEPITHUMANE for 10% off of your order. So,
sorry, my cat keeps getting into things over here.
But that's what's fun about what we do, right? Like, we have animals. My dog's over here just doing his Sunday morning routine. You can't be mad at him. So it's kind of fun stuff. I was actually reading this morning that this guy.
You can read?
Well, we're going to find out here in a little bit. She's not lying, people. She's not lying. So, doing my morning scrolling, and I'm reading Pet Dog Leads to Man's Recapture After Breaking Out of Jail. And so this guy, he breaks out of jail after, like, being sentenced to at least, like, 20 years or something for homicide or something like that. And you know how they found him?
Huh.
A barking dog. So he had his companion dog with him, right? And the little guy was just yapping up a storm. And sure enough, police were led to him by the barking dog, which I
good
find
boy, Lassie.
So funny. And it was his own dog, you know?
That's, like, awesome.
Yeah. So it's definitely something that, you know, kind of gives me a chuckle because I know a lot of the officers that are listening, those are one of their least favorite calls to handle, you know, the barking dog complaints. So
hate them.
So how was your New Year's? How was all that fun stuff?
Good. I've been back to work now after 6 weeks and it's tough going back a little bit. I'm on light duty, so
yeah,
more tough, but
I am, I'm right there with you, buddy.
Yeah, you're looking at some time off coming up.
I got surgery coming up this week.
But one of the things I've had to do going back is go through, because I keep track of the number of strays that we take into our shelter.
Okay.
Because we pay for them. The city pays for them individually, so I got to make sure our numbers match. And it led me to a pet peeve. And I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking this, but it drives me nuts when people call in and they're like, yeah, I have this animal and I don't think it's stray. I think it's lost.
Okay.
My opinion is that they're one and the same. Like, if the animal is out loose, it's not that it's a lost animal. It's not, it's a stray. It's wandering where it doesn't belong. What are your thoughts? Am I, like, overthinking this and just being annoyed for nothing?
I mean, I think it's just ultimately, like, preference of terminology, right? Like, people get upset by the comments of being referred to as the dog catcher, right? Sure. It's essentially the same thing as animal control.
But they see a difference. And I guess I don't see what their difference is. Apparently a stray is unowned.
Basically a feral dog.
Yeah, kinda. But we, like, first of all, we don't have that in our area.
I don't know many areas, like, in this country outside of, like, some of our tribal lands and, you know, some areas that actually have, like, feral packs of dogs. That doesn't seem like that's a thing anymore. I don't know.
You sent the one article.
We did show that one in Anza, California. We were going to talk a little bit about that, but we have another one as well that we want to talk about. Just kind of how some of these measures that we use to get dogs home, you know, have changed, or how we've kind of, how we've adjusted our approach to this dog catching profession is the best way to say it, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll obviously read it, but having a lost dog, or cat for that matter. I mean, I take in stray cats. Hey, we're working on getting a contract again for one of my jurisdictions, so that's good. But I don't know. Lost versus stray just doesn't compute for me. Because I feel like they can always, they'll find their way home if that's what they want to do. But I feel like the lost puts it more on the animal to be at fault than it does the owner.
So like an animal's not going to choose, like, hey, I'm just going to go be stray today. Like, it's a people problem. And then that's stuff that we talk about all the time on this episode. One of my new slogans is help people help animals. I think that has to be our goal in order for us to be able to create an environment where animals are treated in a way that's, like, humane, healthy, etc. And then we cut down on some of the stuff that we're talking about, strays, animals coming into the shelter. You know, we could spend this whole episode talking about just access to care, right? Mm-hmm. And how that whole process works, and where there are, like, veterinary deserts, just like food deserts, right? An old friend of the show, and actually an old host, Hildy, he used to work for this veterinarian company. And he actually sent me this really cool link that is a map of the country. And it shows where there is, like, a concentrated area of veterinarians and then where there's just no veterinarians whatsoever. Oh. And so eye-opening to see, like, how people are really affected by this. And so that's part of our goal here on the show, is to continue just to ultimately, like, provide resources, provide ways to really operate in a way that's going to get people to care for their animals that they need. Right.
Yeah.
Cause it's a people problem. It's really not anything other than a people problem.
It is. And I'm working with our local technical college, who is wanting to do some kind of big project. And we recently have opened up a campus for homeless and underprivileged, for helping them get resources and food and medical care and stuff. So I'm working with them to bring, even if it's just minimal, you know, maybe not surgeries and things like that, but just minimal veterinary care to some of those populations. Because we have a associate's program for veterinary technology at that technical college. So
have you heard, I don't know how long it's been around for, have you heard of One Health?
Yes.
So those that are listening that may not have heard of it, One Health is a collaborative, multi-sectorial, and transdisciplinary approach working with local, regional, national, and global levels with the goal of achieving optimal health outcomes, recognizing the interconnection between people, animals, plants, and their shared environment. I think our agencies need to be more aware of this One Health network, this One Health program, because I think overall, in the aspects of like, of where we are and where we want to go, like having that support on a larger scale is going to get us there, right? So
yeah.
Understanding the health and safety of our profession, understanding like we have a job to provide a safe community, right? So if people are truly like experiencing animals that are public health risks, that One Health model can really come in and I think help change that, maybe provide resources. And that, again, that opens up that conversation about access to care, right? Like, can we get support from these larger programs to provide access to care?
Yeah. It's definitely something that I think is going to be in the talks for a very, very long time. Like, I don't think it's ever anything we're going to get away from. I don't think we're ever going to get to a point where we're like, yep, we're finally good, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that comes down to the state of our country is healthcare in general, whether it be human or animal. But
and that's where we really need to step up as far as like, do you have pet health insurance?
I don't. I've looked into it a couple of times and I've not bit the bullet because I don't know that I don't know if all of my vets in the area even will accept it or do anything about it. And it's one of those things that is so, I don't want to say hard to understand, but slightly hard to understand, like how it actually works.
Yeah. And I think it's something that's important for us to really look into as pet owners and regulate that industry, right? Because there is, just like regular health insurance, there's not much regulating the pet care industry, the pet healthcare industry. But again, providing access to care, right? Providing people options. I'd rather pay, if it was an option, a copay or so much a month versus a $3,000 vet bill.
Right.
So, yeah. So just those thoughts, I think we have to continue to push that narrative.
Yeah. It would be nice if our, you know, personal insurances could just start including pets.
Well, some companies even offer pet care. This guy over here to my right on the shoulder, do you know who that is?
Yeah, that's Henry Berg.
Well, what did Henry Berg do?
Started the ASPCA.
Yeah, and that company offers pet health care insurance, and they should. It's the ASPCA, right?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, that's just one example of a company offering pet health care insurance. So just kind of interesting stuff in that regard. All right, let's jump into this article and then kind of break down our thoughts regarding kind of the processes and how we deal with strays. I'll be honest, it depends on where you are. So you might be listening in a big city where you do have a large population of strays, just, you know, people maybe not being as responsible with their pets, allowing them to roam free, etc. Or you may be like the last agency that I worked at, you know, it was a small mountain town, high socioeconomic community. There weren't a lot of dogs out. And so it's an interesting approach. I don't think that this is a blanket statement for animal control. I think we, as in general, maybe can take some pieces, add, modify, but it's a good starting point. And I think some people are doing this and or variations of it. So I just wanted to kind of set that up before we jump into it. And this, when I saw the website, I thought this was in Canada. Victoria Advocate. It's actually in Texas. It's actually in Texas. And we've met the the director of the shelter that is quoted. His name is Mark Sloat. Met him in Texas this last year. Nice guy. Mark and I spent probably a good hour and a half on the phone one day, and it was like I was on his podcast. So though it wasn't published, there was just a lot of back and forth. It was good conversation, really good conversation. So victoriaadvocate.com, how Animal Services is changing their approach to loose dogs in Victoria. This is written by Patrick Sloan Turner. This article came out on January 5th of 2024. Driving through almost any neighborhood in Victoria on a given day, locals might feel the urge to echo a chart-topping 100, 200, 2,000 pop hit with a simple question. Who let the dogs out? Okay, I didn't write this article. It is a question Victoria County Animal Services Department is constantly trying to answer. It may be obvious to many that the loose and stray dog problem persists in the area, but the solution might be less obvious than calling the dog catcher to come scoop up Fido and take him to the pound. Instead, the man in charge said the real fix lies in education, outreach, and a new approach to handling loose animals. Although the result might not be immediately apparent, Animal Services contends this new method is working. While nationwide shelter intakes have increased in 2023, the department in Victoria has cut its intakes in half. An ice cream truck mentality. When Mark Sloat, the director of Victoria County Animal Services, arrived in Victoria from Travis County around a year ago, one thing stood out almost immediately. There were dogs everywhere. Sloat said he quickly understood the system of policing needed to change, employing strategies he saw make a difference back in Austin, Texas. I call it the ice cream truck mentality, Sloat said. Instead of being seen as ticket-writing dog catchers, Sloat said it is imperative for him and his team to be seen as helping rather than a headache. We want people to see us in the neighborhoods and see us as somebody doing good, he said. Supervisor Joe Hernandez has been with Victoria County Animal Services for almost 5 years and said Sloat's strategic changes are making an impact. I'm speaking with people, trying to help them understand the laws and trying to work with them, not just simply punishing someone, Hernandez said. Tickets are still written, but Hernandez says that they are more likely given to repeat visits to the same owners. The idea is not being seen as a bad guy will make it easier for his officers to do the job. It will also make it easier for officers to have real conversations with dog owners and ask why their pets go out and really show them what the problem is. Doing so means officers will take their time more so than they did before. It's a concept Sloat took from Austin. 10 years before he left for Victoria, Sloat said the average time spent on a call for his officers was just 6 minutes. Whew. In taking steps to enable officers to spend more time speaking with the community on calls, that number went from 6 minutes to 13 minutes. When you're not rushed, an officer has time to have these discussions and actually have a conversation with somebody and help them understand, Sloat said. It makes a huge difference. As someone who has spent years going out on calls, Hernandez says, more time spent on each interaction is a good thing. We interact with people to solve the problem now, he said, instead of what we used to do where we would just take the dog and that's that. Keeping animals out of the shelter. Another new strategy is simply impounding fewer dogs. When Animal Services officers head out on a call for a loose dog, instead of taking the dog back to the shelter and maybe finding the owner, officers now try to have the animal show them where their home is. Sloat said a loose dog usually walk in the streets not far from home. He also said an effective strategy is to place a little bit of stress on the dog, which often makes them head to where they belong. Sometimes you yell, sometimes you honk your horn, and if a dog gets uncomfortable, generally it will go home, Sloat said. They are going to go where they feel safe. In the past year, the department has reduced shelter intakes by 48%. It is more than just not picking up dogs, he said. It's giving officers a chance to talk with the owner about the dog getting loose, which often reduces the chances of it happening again. It just helps owners understand things like if your dog's running loose, he can get hurt. He can hurt somebody, Hernandez says. One of the worst things for a loose dog, the department director said, is for it to come to the shelter. When he gets a call from Good Samaritans who find and pick up a dog near their home, he first asks whether they were able to hang on to the dog for a little while, knowing it's likely not far from their home. Before the resident brings the animal to the shelter, if they are first able to walk the dog around the neighborhood a couple of times for a day or so, Sloat said there's a good chance neighbors will recognize the animal and it will make it back home. Many may think they are helping by scooping up a loose dog and bringing it to the shelter, which is often not a good solution. Almost all the time, it is not the right thing to do, Sloat said. Now we've got animals at the shelter, not because they were sick, not because they were injured, not because they were aggressive, but because somebody let them go outside to use the bathroom and wasn't keeping an eye on it. Once a dog is at the shelter, there's a decent chance owner will not come pick it up. Again, part of the problem that here is people don't come looking at the shelter because we've built it into them that they're going to have negative consequences to come get their dog, Sloat said, adding that changing the perception is a major priority. The department also began a foster program placing stray dogs and loose dogs in homes as they look for a permanent adoption. A fix for Fido's behavior. It's a long article, so thank you for staying with us.
We're laughing at you in the meantime. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Since arriving in Victoria a year ago, it's likely Sloat and other animal services have echoed the words of the late, longtime Price is Right host, Bob Barker. That's right. Spay and neuter your pets. There is a large number of non-neutered or unspayed dogs in the area who are not being bred. They're not even being bred. The reason they are not fixed is a societal one, Sloat said, especially with male dogs. Many choose not to neuter because they are afraid taking away his manhood. He said he had one owner tell him that he did not want to turn his dog gay. Spaying and neutering, the director said, often comes with major benefits of a dog's health, demeanor, and life expectancy. A loose dog's motivation for roaming around is often simply and steeped in biology, Sloat said. Whole lot in life is to eat, sleep, and reproduce, he said. Let's say you got a cattle dog, and he's a male, and you neuter him. Now, he's not worried about finding a girlfriend. Now, all he wants to do is chase cattle. Animal Services is trying to educate the public on how fixing their dogs, male or female, will help them stay at home. Aside from biological compulsion to reproduce, neutering a male dog also helps curb other hormone-related behaviors, Sloat said. Data shows overwhelmingly the most common loose dog bites are non-neutered male. A step in the right direction. We're almost done, folks. Citing local data from past year, especially with euthanasia, the director said the department is making real improvements. Later in the year, they plan to move into a new facility with more space for animals and resources for staff. Sloat said there is still much work to be done with his new approach to animal control. Changes do not happen overnight. Still, he believes his new approach will result in lasting changes, but it all starts with his staff who go out on calls every day. For officers like Hernandez, the solution is in a thoughtful community-based service. Though this kind of approach, he believes that dog owners better understand the problem and officers' task with fixing it cannot help but be more invested in a systemic solution. On a call in the past year, well into a conversation with a woman after he returned her dog, Hernandez said he had an exchange that was revealing of the department's new strategy and efforts. He said it was also revealing of the way that he and his colleagues have moved on from the quick fix tactics of the past. Before I left, she said, "Why do you care? No one has ever cared," Hernandez said. And I just thought, well, at some point, if things are going to improve, someone has to care. Okay. What stood out from this article?
The trying to put a little stress on him to get him home. I guess how many times do you go out looking to get the dog that is running loose? And the owners aren't even home.
Mm. Yeah.
There's times where I'm like, oh, this dog's kind of hanging around this yard, but the gate's open.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this could be their dog.
Yeah.
Or it might not be. And I don't want to just leave a dog in somebody's yard.
Yeah.
So that would be my biggest concern. And now, granted, if I'm, you know, I don't typically chase after dogs for a long period of time. As long as it is not a traffic hazard, if it's in a lower trafficked area and it's not, you know, constantly in and out of the road, and if it's not approaching anybody in an aggressive manner, I'll try for a few minutes, but I also don't want to push it further away from home because, like he said, you know, they are usually hanging around somewhere close by. Mm-hmm. So I don't push it. Although if I'm chasing and it kind of keeps hanging around this one house, yeah, I'll go knock on the door. I just, honestly, what has helped in my area, social media.
Absolutely. And I'm actually surprised that it wasn't mentioned in this article. Yeah. I'm really glad you brought that up. I'll say this, and I don't mean it other than just like, it is what it is. Like, it shows me, I don't know, I can't recall how long Mark had been an animal control officer, but it shows me like this like epiphany that the dog catcher had and is now like changing their ways, which is great because now his department, right, can benefit from his archaic operations when he started 30 years ago, right? Like right. When I met him, he seemed like he had that old dog catcher vibe. I'm not trying to be mean. He struck me as a dog catcher, right? When you read the article, you're like, this dog catcher now sees like, okay, I might have operated this way for so long. There's a different way. And I really appreciate that. I really think it's cool to see someone say like, I'll give an example, that tactic of what he said of like putting stress on the dog and it'll go home. Mm-hmm. Like that is such a dog catcher type of approach because I've worked with dog catchers. I get it. Right. And I think with him, he's taking something from his experience and then putting it into basically, practice. Yeah. Like how can we, instead of bringing an animal into the shelter, how do we get it to tell us where to go? A couple things that I really appreciate from that article too, is like, that preface of like providing care to animals and saying like, hey, let's get them spayed and neutered. And they may, especially the male dogs, may not want to run at large anymore, things of that nature. I think when you take a kind of a multifaceted approach to this problem, you're going to get some answers. There was something else that jumped out at me from the article, and I was hoping you picked up on it, was the, what was it? It was something about, so we had the put pressure on them, take them home. Ah, that's what it was. It was saying to the community member, saying to whoever found the dog, hey, you mind just keeping it for a few days? Get the fuck out of here. I ain't keeping some stray ass dog in my house. That ain't my problem. Right.
Well, and my concern, it actually drives me nuts when people do that. They bring these stray animals into their homes, have them around their animals. They don't know, do they have fleas? Do they have worms? Do they have any other various diseases? Because let's be honest, how many of these animals are getting proper veterinary care? Mm-hmm. Or having them around their kids?
Well, just all of it. Like I would never, as a public safety organization, I would never, ever put that responsibility on the person that's just trying to do the right thing. If they say, hey, if they say without any sort of provocation, hey, is it okay if I keep the dog here and try to find the owner myself? Sure. Like if they're asking versus us telling, I'm completely fine with that because then they put that, they've already thought about it, that they can provide that service. But for us to be like, hey, why don't you like walk the dog around the neighborhood for a couple of days or keep it in your house and let it do X, Y, and Z? I'm not a fan of that one. That one.
And I mean, you're looking at them providing food, water, shelter. Like I actually end up arguing with people. Our state statute says that it's really convoluted because you've got your stray animals, more specifically dogs, according to state statute, that need to be brought in to law enforcement or the contracted facility. And then you've got another state statute that says chattel can be held onto for up to a year, but then you have to put into the newspaper every day that you have this animal so that if the owner comes looking for it, they can find it. So we always have this argument, and when people are like, oh, I'm going to hold on to this dog because I want to keep it if my, you know, if nobody comes forward, I always end up arguing with them because I've had people come forward longer periods than their stray days.
Absolutely. You know? All the time, every time.
And it's to save the hassle for the people. If we go through the stray days and we, cause we only have a 4-day stray hold and then the animal can go up for adoption. Then it gets fixed. It gets a medical look over and then you adopt it out and we know legally where it is. Mm-hmm. And now we don't have to worry about you getting sued because you now kept this person's animal and they couldn't find it. But then there's that safety aspect of it too, that, yeah, I struggle with that one when people want to keep animals at their homes and stuff.
And I think going back to just some of the suggestions that the article provided, I think I don't want to like make it like I'm saying this isn't a great idea because it really is. Like the idea of educating.
They've made it work.
Yeah. Educating versus ticketing. 100% in agreement with that. And even it even said that, like, unless it's a repeat offender and now we're like, all right, dude, we've been out here this many times. Like, unfortunately, we can't keep giving you an option to like just warn you. Like there are unfortunately regulatory outcomes in this aspect. So we're going to have to issue you a ticket. Like, I think that's great. I think spending more than 6 minutes on a call, finding ways to really like provide customer service in that approach is really appreciative, right? So I'm glad that Mark saw that need in his agency. And I think that guy has a lot of experience, right? He worked in Austin. Like he's got several years of experience doing this type of job. And so bringing those little pieces that work is really impressive. I think, you know, providing just different types of guidance in the aspect of like, let's go out there and ticket today. Like, or, you know, I think one of the things that I've liked to see too, I know you talked about the social media thing is the talk and the importance of microchipping and tagging your pets, right? Because this article mm-hmm. wasn't written for us. It was written for the community, right? And so as an educational piece, we could have educated the community a little more saying like microchips are a great way and a fast way to get your pet back home, right? And so those can be provided at a low cost, no cost kind of thing in that aspect. And so just utilizing those different tools to find ways to keep animals out of the shelter. And I think that the approach or the mentality of it is there. And I'm in complete agreement of trying to keep animals out of the shelter, right? Providing care and, you know, providing ways to not have them come into the shelters. I just think that we could have added a little more there. There were some things missed, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think there were some things missed in the article, and that's not Mark's fault. It is reading through the article, knowing their approach, it may not be something that I would completely adopt here. You know, it's not something that, but the fact that they do have a 48% decrease in their shelter animals and what they're taking in, it's obviously working for them. So I also don't want to hate on them completely because it's working. Like they've got something that's working for their area. And you kind of said that at the beginning, like everybody's going to do their own thing the way that it works best for their department.
Sure.
And we should always be trying to strive for, okay, how can we change what we're doing to make it work better? And I think that's exactly what he's doing.
Now, this moment, 2024, we need more people talking about access to care. And you're seeing that. You're seeing street dog coalitions. You're seeing people that are mobile veterinary, you know, clinics. You're seeing veterinarians that are helping our homeless population of people and their animals. So you're seeing all this starting to come into action. We just really need to figure out a way to Walmart, if you will, the access to care industry for pets.
Yeah. I don't like that comes from some of the bigger organizations though. Who part of that consistency I was talking about, having all of the organizations working together towards that goal.
Yeah.
Would definitely be more beneficial, I think, than some smaller organization.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, there's organizations that are established that can allocate time, funding, resources, etc.
Sorry, I'm watching my cat stalk a squirrel out the window.
That's fantastic. I wish we could see that.
The squirrel's gone now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the first episode of 2024. Again, check us out on Facebook. That is the Animal Control Report. You can also follow us on YouTube. Find the Animal Control Report there. And, you know, reach out to the show if you have questions, comments, concerns, whatever it is, and you have ideas on how to continue to push this narrative forward. We're here for that. So we appreciate you tuning in. Again, check out our website, keepithumane.com. Also, check out one of our sponsors, that is livetrap.com. Shout out to Tomahawk Live Trap. Visit them. Again, use Keep It Humane for discount code. That's 10% off your next order. Bishop, any final thoughts?
I'm excited for the change that we can try to bring for 2024.
I think we will. I think the more we talk about it, you know, the more we raise awareness, the more people hopefully get on board.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, thanks for listening. And our new slogan.
He likes throwing things out at me without telling me about it.
Here, I'm going to try this. If you don't like it, we'll go back to the old one. Thanks for listening and help people help animals.
All right.
Or should we just keep it humane?
No, I like help people help animals.
Yeah, that's the new slogan. All right, let's try this at the end. Everyone, we appreciate your time. Thanks for listening and help people help animals. And keep it humane, man.